The leaders of a Goshute Indian tribe in Utah are fighting for something very few other people want, nuclear waste. The tribe has agreed to temporarily store spent nuclear fuel on its remote reservation until permanent storage is available at Yucca Mountain, Nevada. Utah politicians are against the plan, but the state has no jurisdiction on the reservation. Now, NPR's Howard Berkus reports that opponents of the plan have turned to a novel and secretive congressional maneuver to try to block nuclear waste shipments.
Picture Utah's western desert, 2 hours and 2 mountain ranges from Salt Lake City, where wild horses kick up dust on the ground while F-16s scream through the sky. It's a place so parched and pale it's called Skull Valley. It's home to a band of Goshute Indians, and it's coveted by nuclear power plants searching for a temporary place to send their waste. Utah politicians seem unable to stop them, says congressional aide Bill Johnson.
If it was state land or county land or private land, well, the state or the county or somebody would have blocked them through zoning laws or something like that. By going to a sovereign Indian nation, they don't have those problems once they get to the reservation. And there's the rub.
Johnson works for Utah Congressman Jim Hansen, who worries the site's proximity to a bombing and gunnery range could compromise use of that range and prompt the closure of an Air Force base, the state's biggest employer. Hansen noticed rail shipments of nuclear waste would run along a mountain range that has long been a candidate for wilderness designation.
This wilderness sits squarely across the proposed route for that rail spur and would therefore block access for the rail line to the reservation. I guess they could come up with another route, but that's probably unlikely.
So is declaring wilderness in Congress right now. So Congressman Hansen used the proximity of the bombing range and his clout as a committee chairman to sneak the wilderness designation into a Defense Department authorization bill, which the House passed earlier this month.
We chose to ride this train because this train is going to the president to be signed into law. At the end of the year, we're either going to have 500,000 acres of wilderness, new wilderness, in Utah, and no nuclear waste, or we'll have 0 acres of wilderness in Utah and nuclear waste on the way.
The maneuver has the nuclear power plants crying foul. Scott Northard is the project manager for the Utah nuclear waste site.
It's very unfortunate that it come to this, that if you can't show that you have legitimate complaints about a project like that and you can't show that it's unsafe, and if you're still opposed to it, you can take the legal and political processes and abuse those processes in order to try to stop something. It's sort of a philosophy of the ends justify the means, which is really a shame in this case.
Northard says the power plants are considering legal action. Environmental groups are also upset. That's right, environmental groups, which lobby hard for wilderness and bitterly oppose nuclear waste in Utah. Larry Young directs the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance.
We're handed here a wilderness deal that perverts the concept of wilderness. If this bill is passed into law, it will be the worst piece of wilderness legislation ever enacted into law. That's the deal we're being offered, and it's an unacceptable deal.
Young complains the maneuver militarizes the wilderness, giving the Defense Department unprecedented control over access and allowing roads, machinery, and buildings, which are usually banned in wilderness. But Utah politicians are not apologetic. They're lobbying the Senate now, which next considers the defense authorization bill containing Utah's anti-nuclear wilderness. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.